This is the message given by Pastor Micah Anglo during the morning worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for January 1st, 2023. The title of the message is Resolutions for Joy in the New Year.
Good morning, Faith Presbyterian Church. Happy New Year. Good to see you, James. I thought you were on vacation. You shouldn't be here. Well, praise God. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, James, for the invitation. James and I are part of the same pastor's fellowship, and James is such a good brother and friend and encouragement to me. And so I'm just so happy to be here. I'm happy to be with God's people on the first Sunday of 2023. What a great way to start the year, worshiping our Lord, gathering with the saints, and praising our God. Just a little bit about me. I pastor a church in Long Beach called Pillar Bible Church. We're just down the road, just like 2 minutes away from you guys, right next to Cow Bowl. And so I've been there for 9 years, been married to my wife for 9 years. We have three kids. It's crazy at home. And three kids under the age of six. I'm not sleeping because I stayed up for the countdown, but I'm not sleeping because we have three kids. So, but the Lord is good to us, and I'm just so happy to be here just to bring encouragement from God's word to you. And let's start off first by reading God's word together. So if you could please take your Bibles or look in your program and turn to the book of Habakkuk chapter 3. I have the New American Standard Bible in front of me, but I'll be reading just from the ESV that's printed in the bulletin. Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll be reading from verses 16 to 19. But our time of focus will be in verses 18 and 19. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. The word of our Lord says this: I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. This is the reading of God's holy, infallible word, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. In March of 2021, a woman named Lindsay Kennedy decided to go on a swim in a canal next to her boyfriend's house. That was the first problem. Never swim in a canal. In West Delray Beach, Florida, she swam and got lost, and she got to a shallow part of the canal where she found a doorway where she was swimming. And like all mysterious doorways, what do? You enter into them. She entered into this doorway, and she found herself into a complex sewer system where she got lost. And so she went from one tunnel to the next, and she got lost and more lost until she found an opening up high where she saw some people walking by, and she shouted for help. Finally, she got some help, and the authorities came and rescued her through a storm drain. She left on March 3rd. Do you know when she found her, or when they found her? March 23rd. She was lost for 3 weeks in a sewer system. She doesn't remember what happened. I think she was probably in a daze. She does remember that she found a bottle of or a can of ginger ale, and that's what she drank. I wouldn't personally drink a ginger ale in the sewer. And it was a surprise and a miracle that she survived, because in that part of Florida, they find massive snakes and large alligators there, where people don't want to meet those things there. And if you probably asked her, that was probably one of the worst moments in her life, right? She would probably say that. That was one of the lowest points in her life. Can you recall one of the lowest moments of your life? Can you think of the hardest season of your life? You know, we celebrate 2023 in the new year, every single year, at the end of December and the beginning of January. Sometimes we feel like something magically is going to change about our life and our situation when we realize that once January 1st comes, there's nothing different about our life. It's the same struggles, same troubles, same worries. And you might be here today. You might be going through one of the deepest, darkest, lowest points of your life. Maybe you might be struggling with something, or whatever season you are in, maybe you are encouraged and you need to be prepared for a future season of hardship. Whatever season you're in, the book of Habakkuk gives us encouragement at the end of chapter 3, where God's people can find joy and rest in seasons of hardship. When you are in your lowest moment of life, when everything is going wrong, when the new year is here and nothing has changed, we can be reminded of the fact that God is good, and God and faith in God is our solution to whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And so human tendency and difficulty is to what? It is to fight for our survival. It is to run away for preservation. It's to depend upon our own strengths and solutions for our problems. But the Christian response is to have faith and trust in Christ. And in Habakkuk, we see as faith in God as that solution, and joy in God in hard times. And for us as Christians, New Testament Christians, we see that Jesus, being our Savior, is our eternal security, the one who is working all things for our good, and the one who is working all things for our growth and all things for his glory. And so when we look at Habakkuk chapter 3, if you have studied this book, and I know that James has preached through Habakkuk, you know that this book is all about faith in the midst of confusion. Habakkuk is this prophet ministering in the time of Judah, in the area of Judah where Israel is in this split kingdom. And he's ministering under the reign of Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim is not a good king. He was not a good leader. He didn't do a lot of good things for the people of God. And so the people of God struggled with oppressing the poor. They struggled with spiritual abuses. They struggled with idolatry. And they were under the discipline of God. And what God was doing was that he was going to bring providential circumstances in the form of the Babylonian Empire to discipline God's people. And this is the context in which we find ourselves in Habakkuk, where Habakkuk is praying to God, and he's in the midst of a confusing situation as a minister of God's word amongst God's people. And he is going to God, and he's bringing his complaints. It's almost like Habakkuk is calling customer service. Have you called customer service before? I hate customer service. This is better than customer service. This is going to God, who brings better solutions than man could ever bring. Chapter 1, he brings his complaints. Chapter 2, God responds to these complaints by saying in chapter 2, verse 4, the theme of this book, but the righteous shall live by what? Faith. So this book is all about faith. It's all about faith. When you are giving your complaints to God, you're in confusing times, you don't know what's up and down. And then we get to chapter 3, where Habakkuk is ending this book, and you see his range of emotions throughout this book, and he's ending this book with a prayer and praise to God. And when we get to our verses in verses 16 to 19, if you look at verse 16, he starts off, and this builds our context for verse 18. Verse 16, note how Habakkuk gives off his distress and how distressed he is. So he says, I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver, and rottenness enters my bones. So Habakkuk is in this situation where he is so distraught and so discouraged and so overwhelmed, where his body is shaking and trembling. Have you ever been at a point like that, where your situation has made you to physically tremble, and you are going through so much that your body is physically showing how shaken you are? That's Habakkuk. He He also feels rottenness in his bones where his situation feels like he's rotting on the inside. If you look at verse 17, he gives a situation where as he's waiting for Babylon to come in, he's saying this situation might take place where we might have our luxuries and our necessities in life threatened. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, though the fruit of the vines not produce olive, and the olive will fail, and the fields will not yield food, and the flock be cut off. So all those things are a reference to both the luxuries, the figs and the fruit of the vine. So the not having the luxuries of life, like the restaurants and the movies, versus the essentials, like the fields and starving. The sheep and cattle during that time were wealth and assets, and even meat used for eating. And he references labor loss and loss of daily provisions, which is what we see today. Loss of economic strength and trading. And so what we see Habakkuk going through his time is really no different from what we are experiencing today. And so when we go to our passage in verses 18 forward, I want to encourage us with three resolutions. Three resolutions to fight for joy. As we go into 2023 and you yourself are walking your Christian walk and living out your Christian faith, these resolutions will help you to be joyful in hard times. Whenever the worries and the struggles come in 2023, we can go back to these and reorient ourselves back to the gospel. So look at the first one in verse 18. First of all, let's be satisfied in the Lord. Look at verse 18. He says, yet I will, what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. As we said in verses 16 to 17, this is the worst scenario possible for Habakkuk. He says in verse 18, yet, a strong contrast. In spite of this, despite my situation, in the greatest deficiency, when everything around me is crumbling, he makes a vow. I myself, literally in the Hebrew, emphatic, I myself will make this resolution. Habakkuk is making a resolution for himself to be faithful to Yahweh. Faithful to the covenant-keeping God in the midst of trial. He is resolved to have peace, rest, and trust in God and in God's purposes for his life. That term exult generally means to have joy or to rejoice. It's really more than just being content. Sometimes when things happen to us, we're just saying, oh, Lord, you know, that's just the cards that I've been dealt with. I'll just be content. Well, there's an aspect where Christians have to be like that, but it's more than just being content. He is saying, I'm actually choosing to be joyful in this situation. When was the last time we were choosing to be joyful in our sufferings and trials and difficulty? That's what Habakkuk is doing. He is actually happiness is a choice for him. He is choosing to be joyful. And he's being joyful because that he knows that the God he worships and follows is a God of endless joy and happiness. He is a God who is infinite and gives an infinite, inexhaustible supply of joy. My wife and I love to go to different restaurants and different places to eat. And I love it when the restaurants that we go to have the massive signs that say, free refills. Because I'm a cheap guy, and I love free things. And so whenever I go to restaurants, and they tell me that the drinks are bottomless, the sodas, and even, you know, tap water, I guess, if you want to put that too. Whenever I can say and ask the waiter, can you please give me a refill? I get so happy. Because I only have to pay once and get an endless amount of supply of refreshments. The reason why Habakkuk can be so joyful in difficulty is that he knows that the God he worships and loves brings an endless supply of joy and happiness. That means that whenever he runs out and his cup is empty and he is dry and he needs to be filled again with the joys of the Lord, who can he go back to? He can go back to God. And in this greatest difficulty, he knows that God is the one who brings joy and peace. And this is where we can resonate as New Testament Christians, right? Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That because of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us eternal joys in our salvation and forgiveness, that salvation and grace and forgiveness and joy is not just a joy just for salvation, but it's joy for every day. It's a joy that we can take with ourselves in any circumstance. Because, saints, we know that we have a tendency, especially as Americans, to have a circumstantial love for things and for people. What is circumstantial love? It's a love that fluctuates. It's a love that is dependent upon whether or not our health is 100%. It's a love that depends on the measure of our bank account. It's a love that depends upon the health of our relationships. And sometimes when these things change, our love changes. And Habakkuk says in this book, he notices how much change is happening. He notices how difficult his situation is. But he says that his joy is not in circumstance. His joy is in the Lord. Because saints, with 2023, there are going to be so many different changes. You probably look back at January 2022, and you are not the same person as you were just 1 year ago. A lot can happen in 1 year, and a lot of changes can happen. And so if our joy and our happiness and our affections are dependent upon changing circumstances, what's going to happen with our joy? Our joy will also fluctuate. But if our joy is set upon the founded rock of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then our joy will be steadfast, secure, amidst the changes of the world. I love this quote from one commentator. It says, a Christian's inner peace does not depend upon outward prosperity. Your inner peace does not depend upon your outward circumstances. Everything on the outside can be chaotic. Everything on the outside can be crazy. But on the inside, you can have internal joy and peace. Look at verse 18. He says, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He is a saving God. That is why Habakkuk has joy, both physical and spiritual. You see this in the Psalms, that God is in the business of saving. That if you were to ask God what his main occupation is, he would say he is in the business of saving. And this is where it brings us back to the gospel. In Jesus, we can rejoice. If you're a non-Christian here today and you're visiting, or you've been visiting for a while, the Jesus that this church wants you to know about is a Jesus that saves, is a Jesus full of mercy and kindness and compassion, is a Jesus who desires for you to be forgiven of your sins, and that you can be forgiven of your sins, and that you can be saved by a God of grace and mercy. And you, being saved by that God of grace, can experience the same joy that Habakkuk is experiencing today. And so the question is, do you have the right focus in life today? What are you looking for or looking to for joy? Because everyone is looking somewhere, saints. What are you looking to for joy? Look to Christ, who never changes. Number two, be strong in the Lord. Look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Notice the language that Habakkuk uses to describe God. He uses Yahweh, the covenant name for God. He uses Lord Adonai, meaning master. And he describes him as his strength or his power. All a description of the sovereign, powerful Lord. So Habakkuk basically uses the strongest names available to describe God, to describe his strength. And we do this today, don't we? We do this with our athletes. I don't watch boxing, but I love boxers' nicknames because I think they're just so cool, because they think their nicknames just show how powerful they are. So like, for instance, James Lights Out Tony. Arturo Thunder Gotti, right? Thunder. James Bone Crusher Smith, right? Do you want to go up against Bone Crusher? As a Filipino-American, we love Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao. It's not Manny Nice Man Pacquiao. He's a nice man, but he's Pac-Man Pacquiao. I think they called Ali the people's champion, the people's champ. He's not the people's chump. He's the people's champ. And so you see this in our athletes using the strongest names available to display their athletic strength. When it comes to God, Habakkuk goes and he uses the strongest names available to describe his God. He uses Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the one who is faithful to his people and his promises no matter what happens in life. He uses Adonai, Master, the Lord of this universe. He calls him a strong God who has no rival. And he describes how this sovereign God and his strength brings strength to him. Verse 19, it says there, he makes my feet like the deer's, literally like the hind's feet. So Habakkuk referencing a hind or a female deer is an interesting picture, because for him to reference a deer is a reference to a swift-footed animal who expresses its power in leg strength. So if you're familiar with how deers just live their lives, it is in their leg strength where they find a type of sure-footedness. So what Habakkuk is saying is that he is tapping into the strength of God, and God's strength gives him strength in his trials and suffering and circumstances that makes him have the strength of a deer. And a deer can quickly leap and bound through a dark forest. It has such powerful feet and stable footing that it can go to the highest of mountaintops and find stability in the rockiest of locations. And so Habakkuk is essentially saying this, that God is his strength. It gives him this type of boldness as a deer that is ascending and gliding and climbing to a victorious heights and even descending to the lows of the valley. And in any position that he is in, he finds strength and stability because of the God who gives him strength. That is the illustration that he uses. Because what is he doing in verse 16? He is trembling. He is so weak. And you might be right now in your situation feeling so weak and so vulnerable. And you're asking God, God, where is my stability? Will you please give me stability in my life? Thankfully, like David in Psalm 26, verse 12, David says his foot stands on a level place because he is standing on the Lord. And so he blesses the Lord. He praises the Lord because the Lord is the one who gives the stability. Look at how one commentator puts it, how sometimes when we're weak, the burdens feel too heavy. And look at how he talks about how getting under the Lord is how we kind of get over our burdens. He says this, the way to get out from under the load is to get right under the Lord. To be under the Lord is to be over the circumstance. So he's saying this, that if your burden's too heavy to carry, if you're under a heavy load, to get out from under the load is to be under the Lord. To get over your circumstance is to be under God. And so Habakkuk is essentially saying this, because there's nothing changing about his circumstance. Babylon is still coming. He's still going through suffering. God's people are still giving him a massive headache. And nothing has changed. But here he is saying, you can escape from your trial without actually escaping. Does that make sense? That Your situation in life can virtually remain unchanged. But on the inside, God can minister to your heart and your soul and realize that he is giving a grace and mercy to you, and you can escape from your troubles without actually escaping your troubles. That God, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, gives strength to Paul, where he prays, Lord, please remove this trial, remove this thorn in the flesh. And he says what? My grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't remove the trial from Paul. He instead gives him grace to bear the load. And we need that from God. We need strength, and Habakkuk is given that. And God tells him to live by faith, because faith can bear fruit even during a time of doubt and discouragement when life has not yet changed. And you've heard it statement, that popular statement, grow where you are planted, bloom where you are planted. That providentially God has placed you somewhere. And it might not be that God wants you to escape and run away from that problem. He actually maybe wants you to trust him more and depend upon his strength in that trial. What are the means of grace that we have as Christians? So many ordinary means of grace that God gives us to give us strength in trials. He gives us his word, the scriptures in Psalm 19. If our souls are dead, we are revived by the scriptures. He gives us prayer. We pray out. The Psalms give an example of that, where we cry out and pray out to God, and God can revitalize us through means of prayer. Sometimes it's also a confession of sin and a lifestyle of repentance. Because friends, let me tell you this, if there is still a sin, a besetting sin that you still have not let go of, if you still have not brought that to the Lord and confessed that sin, I want to tell you this, that there is sin, if there is sin in your life, sin will zap the energy out of you. If there is still a sin that you are harboring and keeping, sin will zap your strength and keep you weak. Confess that sin to the Lord. Bring it to the cross and find renewed strength in the gospel. Find strength in the local church. This is the family of God. These are the people that you have committed yourselves to. You are in a covenant relationship with Faith Presbyterian Church in Long Beach here. And you are family, and your family can hear, can refresh you and encourage you in prayer, in the word, in practical help. And remember the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ, the fact that your salvation is secure and that all things are working out for your good because of the cross. Lastly, look at verse 19 at the very end. For the choir director on my stringed instruments. You wouldn't think that you could make a sermon point out of a musical notation, but I did, right? And pastors do that sometimes. This musical notation, we've seen this before, even in the Psalms. If you look at chapter 3, verse 1, it says, prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigionoth, which is a really weird word that refers to maybe a type of song. That chapter 3 historically may have been sung by Israel as a type of song, which is it's an interesting song because it talks about the suffering and even the judgment of God, but at the end talks about his grace. And we know it's a song because you see the musical notation Selah. You see it in verses 3, 9, and 13. Where else do we see the musical notation Selah? In the Psalms, right? So we know that chapter 3 had to have been sung. And so it is given for the choir director, one who led worship in Israel's history. And it was also on stringed instruments, meaning that they sung it with organized musical instruments and in ancient Israel. And so there was a lot of skill, a lot of thought, and this is basically a beautiful masterpiece that was written. And so I admire just the poetry and even the songs written in the Old Testament. I admire anyone who writes music. You know, God's best to you if you're an artist and if you're still pursuing that dream of writing songs and starting your band. Keep doing that because I could never do that. It takes a lot of skill and thought to think of rhythm, to think of lyrics, to think of rhyming and alliteration and all. In at least in the Bible, all having to be theologically accurate too. There takes a lot of skill in writing these types of songs. And Habakkuk writes this, and it was intended to be sung by God's people together. And note the first person use, right? He in verse 18 says, I will exult, I will rejoice. God is my strength, my feet. He will cause me to walk this way. So the prophet Habakkuk is like a prophet songwriter, and he's putting himself in his song. It's like when we were in, you remember doing that in high school? You probably still do this, where you sing those old songs, the songs on the radio. Remember the radio? Okay, for the young people, Spotify, right? Remember those songs, and you would just put yourself in that, and it was almost like you wrote that song, you're singing about that girl, singing about that guy, hopefully you married that girl or married that guy, right? But you put yourself in that radio song, and you sung it like it was yours. And Habakkuk puts it in the first person because he wants God's people to put themselves in this song and sing it like it belongs to them. That I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. God is my strength. He's not just Habakkuk's strength. He's my strength. And so he wants God's people to sing this for themselves because there's something about singing that's informative, exhortative, and we learn about God, and singing is something that's memorable. We learn in chapter 3 of his judgment and his salvation simultaneously. And he wants everyone to sing because he uses singing as a form of discipleship. And oh, saints, isn't singing such a beautiful way to disciple one another? We sing together. We sing these beautiful hymns. Families, parents, I hope you are singing at home with your children if they're still at home. If you gather together in the holidays, you are singing these beautiful theological truths. And singing is a way of passing down the beautiful orthodox theological truths to the next generation. So it's not just personal, it's corporate. We pass on theology through how we sing. Singing also affects joy. And so going back to our point one, I think there were certain studies that said that singing in a group causes endorphins that promotes positive feelings in your body. And so God wired the body in such a way that it is intended to be sung, not just by yourself, but in groups of people. So the point is we're supposed to sing these truths. And we sing the wonderful hymns like How Firm a Foundation, that talks about our firm foundation in Christ in times of hardship. Things like Be Still My Soul, The Lord Is on Thy Side. Songs like Be Thou My Vision, that talks about God being our best thought by day or by night. There is no better thought that you can think this year than about Jesus Christ. Beautiful songs. So I want to encourage you, friends, as we go into 2023, I want to encourage you to, one, sing during suffering. There's a hymn for any season. And so in your sadness, in your troubles, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel unable and unable to do anything, even when you don't feel like singing, this is when you should be singing. Sing to remind you of gospel truth. Sing in order to fight sin. Martin Luther put it this way: Satan flees before the sound of music almost as he takes flight at the word of theology. You fight grumbling with songs of gratitude. You fight sadness with joyful praise. You fight temptation with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. One of the best ways to fight sin in daily life is to sing. Sing for strength. If you're tired, if you're in a spiritual drought, if you feel like you're spiritually lethargic, one of the ways to help you get out of a spiritual rut is to sing. It is to sing these truths. It increases joy. It strengthens the soul. It is life-giving. Sing the gospel. Sing of Christ on the cross. Sing of the beauties of the resurrection. Sing of the future resurrection that Jesus will bring in his second advent when he comes home and he vindicates us through all the difficulties and trials and ridicules and persecution that we're experiencing now. That is all temporary. We sing to project us forward to a future of eternity with our God who will save us. Sing about those truths as sinners who are saved by grace that cannot help but sing. As we're about to sing a song, This Is My Father's World, you guys asked me what song to recommend. I recommended the song, This Is My Father's World. And this is why. Because You may be looking back at 2022 and you are just discouraged and depressed and saddened by everything that is happening in the world and even in your life. And maybe that discouragement is rolling over to 2023. And because we are in a sin-stained world, those hardships and discouragements sadly will continue and maybe get worse. And so we acknowledge that in this world, there are many things wrong in this world. There's sin and there's evil and pain will increase. Habakkuk here is reminding us that we cannot lose faith in God, in his sovereign plans, in the fact that he's working all things out for his glory in society and in your life. And so when the wrong seems strong and the sadness increases, God is ruling. That is why I love "This Is My Father's World" when the third stanza says this: "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the joys of Christ, that in our difficulties and sadness, and when the wrong seems so strong in the world and in our life, we can exult in the Lord. We can rejoice in the God of our salvation. Christ is our strength. And it causes us to sing joyful songs to you. Lord, for those who are here who still do not know Christ in a saving way, I pray that you would convict their hearts, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came 2,000 years ago to die on the cross, to pay a righteous penalty for the sins of those who would trust in him. And that those sinners can now be saved by grace and adopted into your family. I pray, Lord, that they would embrace that truth and be part of your family today. And for God's people who are here today that need to be reminded of the gospel strength, encourage their hearts today to tackle 2023 not by their own strength, but to be resolved to depend upon the strength of the Lord. And so we praise you and we want to honor you through these things. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.